Now, if you will notice in your bulletin, it's a little confusing. Which book are we really to turn to? Okay, turn to the book of Jonah. To the book of Jonah. Now, there are various reasons sometimes for giving messages. Sometimes we do a message because there is a need within the church, a need for not necessarily discipline, but a need for redirection. And that's not the reason that we're having this message this morning. This message is a spiritual lesson, a spiritual lesson. And I hope it will come, that you will see this as a spiritual lesson. Tim teaches Sunday school on Sunday mornings, and he studies his lesson, he works on his lesson to bring to you what he believes that the Holy Spirit wants to share with you, that you might be better equipped to serve the Lord. Well, as I was asking God to show me what we, all of us as a family, we sang the song, Family of God. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, you are part of that family. Whether or not you're a member in this church, but you're here. And I believe this is the message that the Holy Spirit wants you to get this morning. And so we will challenge, we will look into it. It comes from the book of Jonah, the fourth chapter, the last chapter of Jonah. So let's just read three verses, verses 5, 6, and 7. And then we'll get on into the message. Jonah 4, 5 through 7. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. Most of us know the story of Jonah. Children know the story of Jonah. Whether they believe it or not, they know the story. Part of the story is the fact that Jonah hated Nineveh. So when God told him to go to Nineveh and warn them that disaster was coming, because Jonah hated them, he ran from God. Now, isn't it interesting that God chose Jonah to carry the message to Nineveh, knowing that Jonah hated Nineveh? In fact, God knew. God knew that Jonah was going to run. And sometimes he has a message for you. And sometimes we run too. But God knew exactly how to fix the situation. It tells us he created a fish, a special fish. And that fish swallowed Jonah when they threw him off the ship. And it took 3 days in the belly of a fish for Jonah to decide that he didn't like that. And so for the first time in a long time, Jonah prayed. And I like to refer to it as his prayer made the fish sick. Because that fish put Jonah back on the shore near Nineveh. This brings us to chapter 4 of Jonah. Jonah preached, the people repented, and Jonah pouted. Okay? Jonah preached, the people repented, and Jonah pouted. And while he was pouting, he built a shelter to sit under because he thought that God still might punish the people of Nineveh. He was hoping. I counseled with a person yesterday, and I know none of you would ever do this, but just in case you might run across somebody who would, there are times, you know, we are supposed to forgive like we were forgiven. Jesus Christ forgave us everything. He shed his blood to prove it. And in forgiving us everything, he expects us to forgive everyone who offends us or who wrongs us. Now, like I said, I know none of you would do this, but the only reason I know about it is because I have been prone to do it on occasion. On occasion, someone will offend us or do something to offend us, and it may be very grievous. It may change the course of your life. That's pretty serious. And you know what Jesus Christ said we are supposed to do for our enemies. Pray for them. Pray for those who despitefully use us. Now here's the part that I know none of you have ever done, but you might be able to help somebody who does. You pray a prayer, Lord, be kind to this person. And in your heart the whole time you're saying, don't answer my prayer, Lord. Oh, don't do that to them. I want to see him hurt. That was Jonah's attitude here. He went to all the effort. He had 3 days in a fish's belly. And then he was faithful in his preaching. And the city of Nineveh did repent. He accomplished what he was put there to accomplish. But Jonah was not happy about that because, you see, Jonah had never forgiven them. He went there with an offense against them. And he wanted to see them offended the same way he had been offended. He wanted to see them destroyed, punished. A city of 600,000 people. And he was going to stick around until God did it. So he built himself a little shelter. And God, in his wisdom, he knew exactly where Jonah was going to put that shelter. And so he planted a seed right there. God did. He may have used a bird or some kind of an animal, but he planted a seed. And that seed came up. And that seed produced a gourd, and it had leaves on it. It had a vine, and it grew up over the shelter that Jonah had made. And it shaded him. Now, if you're thinking the same way Jonah was, you're thinking, well, see, God's blessing me. I must be right in my attitude. Little did Jonah understand that God had done that so God could finish teaching Jonah a lesson. And sometimes when we see things going sort of right for us, we figure, okay, well, we're in God's will, when we're not. And if you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, you should know you're not right with God. You should know you're not in God's will. I think in his heart, Jonah knew this. At that point, when that gourd came up and put leaves on and shaded him, so far so good. But God wanted Jonah to adjust his attitude. And as Christians living in the United States of America, we're going to find our attitudes challenged. It's coming, folks. The church is not relevant. There's no reason to be here if we're not relevant to what's going on in your life today. And you are seeing things, some of the things you might not agree with, some of the things you might make you angry. Some of the things may be in hardship to you. I remember gasoline when it was 16 cents a gallon. Not that, other than showing my age, some of you never saw that. But $5 a gallon? What does that do to your budget? Where's the discretionary funds left after you buy groceries and buy gas and pay the bills? For many, they're not there. Now, one of the things is, as we're reading this fourth chapter about Jonah, there was an expression in there that I underlined in my message. I have it also underlined in my Bible. And the expression is in chapter 4, verse 7, right in the middle of the verse. And the expression is, the next day. The next day. The title of the message is, where do we go from here? And the verse talks about the next day. The reason the verse, you put it that way, is that the word tomorrow is not in the Bible. At least I can't find it there. And a lot of the thinking we do, a lot of the planning we do, a lot of the talking we do, is about tomorrow. And one of the things that we have to all realize is that God has your life all planned out ahead of you. God knew where Jonah was going to put that shelter. He had a plan. He executed his plan. And the phrase that I want us to think about this morning is the next day. So I would ask you this question. Do you think that God has a plan for you? You think so? Does that plan involve service to God? And the reason that I underlined this phrase, I told you, is the next day, is because the word tomorrow is not in the Bible. And I find it fascinating that we all think about tomorrow. Some of you are thinking, well, I've got to go to work tomorrow. And we think about many tomorrows. I don't know how many tomorrows God's going to give any of us, and neither do you. But you go ahead and think about it, and you plan for it. And that's part of God's plan for you. I know Diana and I are thinking about, well, we've got some Boston butt roast to cook on Wednesday. That's three tomorrows away. Who says we're going to be around then? But people, all of us sitting in this auditorium this morning think about tomorrow. And many tomorrows. How many tomorrows are we going to have? It's important, at least to us, it's important to you. You think God would ever answer that question if you ask him? God, how many tomorrows do I have? What are you going to accomplish with the tomorrows that God gives you? I'm going to go to school. I'm going to become this or that. I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And we really think we're going to do that. We really plan to do that. We even make arrangements to do some of those things. I have a question about tomorrows. Those of you who are part of this church family know that I love questions. I don't always answer them, but I love the questions. About the most important question I could ask this morning would be, what are you going to do with the tomorrows that God gives you? What are you going to do with the tomorrows that God gives you? Will your tomorrows make any difference to anybody in eternity? Will your tomorrows make any difference to anybody in eternity? Did Jonah's tomorrows make any difference to the city of Nineveh? Yes, it did. There was only, when Jonah was spit out on that shore, there was only going to be one tomorrow that was important to anybody anywhere. And that was going to be the way he used tomorrow for God. And he was faithful. He used the tomorrow to tell the people, to warn the people, and it made a difference. That caused me to ask myself a question. I wonder if my tomorrows will make a difference to anybody's eternity. I wonder if your tomorrows will. You see, the answer to that question is up to me and to you. You are the only one who can answer that question. Will your tomorrow make a difference in anybody's eternity? Now remember, I said this is a teaching message. It's actually a lesson. And you will see. Brings us to a new set of questions. The first question, I guess, would be, what would you do with a tomorrow if God gave you one? What would you do with tomorrow if God gave you one? Oh, I'd do this, this, and this. Would it matter? Would it make a difference? I candidly believe that most of us if not all of us here this morning expect to be given a lot of tomorrows. That's our expectation. So wouldn't it make a difference? Wouldn't it be important for us to plan on how we were going to use those tomorrows? And whether it was going to matter to anybody how we used them? If the truth be known, many of us don't have any plans for tomorrow that are of any benefit to anyone else but us. Really? That's the truth. That's what we come here for. The truth of God's word and how it's going to impact us. You all have plans. As you sit here this morning, you all have plans for the future. And you're counting on being given tomorrows to get you there. Folks, there's nothing wrong with that. That's perfectly all right. I am planning on a month and a half of tomorrows. Right now, I'm planning on a month and a half of tomorrows, and then a few more tomorrows after that. It's called vacation. You're all dealing with tomorrow. And it's not even in the Bible. You know, God has a plan for all of us. And that plan may take us in a totally different direction than what we are planning on going. I say that I want God's will in my life. But what I really want, and folks, I'm being candid with you. What I really want is I want God to agree with me. To agree that this is where I should go. This is the path I should be on. Now, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't agree with me? Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, when first two or three chapters, he was writing a letter to the seven churches of Asia. And he identified himself in a different way to every church. And one church, and I, off the top of my mind, it may have been the Church of Laodicea, I don't know. But he said that he was the one who opened the doors and no man could close them. And he closed the doors and no man could open them. Now, if you want to be honest, some of you have done the same thing I have done, and that is tried to kick the doors open. To no avail, fortunately. He's bigger than we are. Most of us are in the same situation when it comes to God's purpose for us as individuals. We know, at least I hope you do, that God has a plan for you. And for many of us, we don't really know what that plan is. We do what God places in front of us and what He tells us, what the Bible tells us to do. And yes, we pray, but do we pray following the leading of God's Holy Spirit, or do we pray for us and our plans? I'm presently reading a book by David Jeremiah. I like his writing. The purpose of a church should be relevant to your life, to what's going on in your life right now. Not what's going to go on tomorrow, but what's going on today. The title of his book is Where Do We Go From Here? And he's dealing with the societal activities that are taking place all around us. The problem seems so prolific. If you feel like I do, you feel very incapable of mattering from any of them. I'll be honest with you. I've come to the point of wondering how so many people could be so stupid. I know they have to, that somewhere there have to be college classes in stupid. And there have to be students acing the classes. It appears that evidently all of the classes on stupid are absolutely full. And as a born-again Christian, it's not too difficult to see how the devil is blinding the eyes of the lost. They think they're seeing the light when they're really seeing darkness. Darkness of sin and confusion. Oh, the devil, he's really sneaky. Jesus understood the devil would tempt him when he got the chance, and so Jesus was prepared for him. The poor lost people of today haven't got a clue as to how the devil is going to get into their lives. Not a clue. And so I'd like to ask the same question that Jeremiah asks, Dr. David Jeremiah. Where do we go from here? In order to answer that question, we have to establish where here is. Where is here for you? Do you know where you are? I don't mean sitting in a chair here at 8310 Dorchester Road. But you are somewhere in your life, and that's where your here is. And depending upon where that is, it's going to affect the rest of your life. I hope you understand that it doesn't matter where anybody else is. It only matters where you are. That's the real truth. For if I were to ask you, where are you at in life? It wouldn't matter where I was in life or where Tim was in life or anybody else here in this auditorium. It would only matter where you are in life. Spiritually, socially, physically and time-wise. Some of us don't have as many tomorrows as we think we do. And some of us have a lot more than we think we might. And probably the last part of the question is more important than the rest of the parts of the question, because it deals with our tomorrows and just how many of them we have coming. Now, I will have to tell you this. God is so good. God is so big. He can take care of anything you need, anything. I think life actually is pretty fantastic for most of us. It's only if you know Jesus and your life is dedicated to fulfilling His purpose that life will be fantastic. You may feel a little like you do right now. You had plans for some of those tomorrows, but something has interrupted those plans. It sort of leaves you in limbo. And limbo is a place about 100,000 miles from here. Really? Somewhere out there in space where it's dark. And the only thing out there with you, as you picture this, is a ribeye steak. That would be your limbo. Now, it may have something to do with my age. I don't want to waste many tomorrows. I don't know how many I've got. So it's important to me what God wants me to do with tomorrow. And I have to tell you, I'm not always sure. Are you? When we're talking with kids, you do the same thing I do. What do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a policeman, or I want to be a fireman. Or let me ask you another question. Maybe you haven't thought about it. What do you want to be when you get old? Legitimate question, folks. What do you want to be when you get old? We might have a lot of, I don't want to be this or that. It has to do with the way you use your tomorrows now. I can't believe we're out of time again. So remember I said this was a spiritual lesson? I'm going to wrap it up at this point. We've been talking about tomorrows, your tomorrows, haven't we? Have you been thinking about them? Okay, stop. I want to read you some scripture. Why are we talking about tomorrows? What have we done with today? God gave you one of those too. And this is a principle that we find in God's Word. And like I said, this was an object lesson, this message. How are you living today? Are you loving somebody for Jesus today? Maybe somebody who's lost on their way to hell. Do they know anything about Jesus? Are you obeying God's command? Now, folks, it doesn't matter what I say up here, as long as this is the truth. As long as it comes from God's word. We have been talking about tomorrows. We've been thinking about tomorrows. I want to read you two verses. Okay, you ready? Matthew 6:3. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We're not going to stop there. We're going to go on to the next verse. Take therefore no thought for the tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All those thoughts we've had about tomorrow are wrong. Tomorrow doesn't matter. It may not come. We may not be given one. But we have been given today. What are you going to do with today? What a lesson, Tim? You sat here for 40 minutes as we talked about tomorrow. And God says, don't worry about it. Don't even think about it. He's in charge of tomorrow. What matters is today. How about that? Father, thank you that we have your word. Thank you that it tells us where we are to be and what we are to be according to your will. Father, help each one of us use today profitably for you. Help us to make a difference in somebody's life for eternity by telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, by loving them for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter who they are or what they've done to us. Father, help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to use today. And Father, we'll praise you for all that you do in our lives, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.